Thanks. Thanks for introducing me. Hello, a warm welcome also from my side to FOSDEM, to the Embedded Dev Room. And we're going to hear something today about Delta-like streaming of encrypted over-the-air updates for Rauk. So luckily, I managed to put the entire abstract of the presentation already in the title. So what we hear about is the changes and developments during the roughly 2 or 3 years that happened in Rauk, the Rauk updating framework. And so it's basically the development that happened since we've last met here, I guess. So short notes about me. My name is Enrico Jans. I'm an embedded software developer. I work at Pangotronics. I'm the team lead of the integration team at Pangotronics, and I'm the co-maintainer of the update framework Rauk that we will hear more about soon. Pangotronics, for those who don't know, it is a company based in Germany, and we provide professional embedded Linux consulting and support, and work closely together with the community. And we've, since the beginning, I think, more than 7,000 patches in the Linux kernel. So a short overview of what we hear today. So the first thing is a short introduction into what Rauk is for those who are not that familiar with, but very, very short. Then we talk about the bundle format, because this is a crucial development for, or the base for all the further features that are listed here. So the first thing I will talk about then is bundle streaming. Then we will hear about adaptive or Delta-like updates, how to encrypt our bundle, give a short outlook on recent development about app updates, and at the end we have a short look into what's coming next on features and what's in the ecosystem. So, yeah, a typical over-the-air field update scenario could look like this. We have here our server. The server builds the image that we want to deploy to the target. We create an update artifact from it, sign it, upload it to our deployment infrastructure, and then we have the individual targets, update targets here, that download the update and install it. And there's also still this conventional, not so over-the-air use case for example, using a USB stick. So what Rauk handles is basically two parts. The first one is the creation of the update artifacts, the signing, verification, and so on, and the actual installation, the fail-safe installation of the updates on the target. So yeah, basically Rauk is an embedded Linux update framework, so it handles the fail-safe and atomic update of AB systems, so redundant system where you have one partition where you're running from, an inactive partition, and when you update, you write your update into the inactive partition. Once you're done, you switch in the bootloader to the inactive partition, reboot, and everything is fine. Rauk is basically two parts on the target. It's the service that handles the update that runs and installs there, and it gets its view on the system from the system configuration file. And yeah, the artifact for updating we call in Rauk a bundle. A bundle consists of the images that should be installed. It consists of additional hooks or something like this, and a manifest that holds the description, yeah, what these images are for, basically. So it's written in C with some utility libraries to not reinvent the wheel for everything. It's licensed under LGPL and hosted on GitHub. And it was started in 2015, and I think the first release was in 2017. So yeah, as I already mentioned, the bundle format is quite essential for the next things that we talk about here. So let's first of all have a short look at the initial bundle formats, because this was a motivation for changing the bundle format then. The initial bundle format was quite straightforward. It was just all the artifacts and the manifest packed together in a squash file system. We sign this squash file system and append the signature to the end of the bundle. So the verification is also quite easy. We just have to read the entire bundle and have to read the signature to be able to verify the bundle. So yeah, this is also the downside. Even if we don't also just want to access the manifest, we have to always authenticate or read the entire bundle. So this is quite slow, and if it comes to over-the-air updating, it requires us to always download the full bundle before we can access any data in this. So yeah, this is bad if we want to use it for streaming. So this is why we have introduced in 2020 a new bundle format. And this bundle format is basically, it's called the Verity format, and it uses the DM Verity. So short intro, a device mapper system in Linux is a generic abstraction of manipulating block devices. So a device mapper has the same API as a block device has. So for the upper layer, it looks like it's just talking to a block device. But below, it can manipulate the block device, authenticate data. It can merge data together, like we know from DM Linear. And yeah, there are several device mappers in the kernel. So the one that we talk about here is DM Verity. It is basically an integrity protection method for read-only block devices. So the rough concept is that you split the block image into several chunks and generate a hash for each. And of these, you recursively do this again and again until you have a single root hash. And then you can verify each single block until the root hash recursively. So yeah, you have a data protection or integrity protection for read-only files. So the Verity table is just appended to the image. So let's see how we use this in the RAUK bundle. So we take our images here and first create the Verity hash and the root hash. The Verity hash is simply appended to the bundle, and the root hash is now placed in the manifest. And then we just sign the manifest with an enveloping signature, which means that the manifest is a payload of the signature. And what this gives us is now the verification of the manifest is quite easy. We just have to verify the manifest or the signature and get the manifest content. And inside the manifest, there's also the root hash. This is then automatically trusted if we have verified the authentication of the manifest. And then we can set up DM Verity and use the hash tree appended to the manifest and the authenticated root hash. And then for each access to each chunk or block on the block device, this is authenticated to the DM Verity in the kernel. And this allows you to have fully authenticated random access to your bundle. And you only need to verify by the time of using the data. So the next logical consequence is to implement streaming. So up to now, RAUK was not so over the air. So downloading means that we assumed there is an external service like Hawkbit or an application or an SCP that downloads the RAUK bundle to the target device. And then with RAUK, we start installing it from the local storage. Well, the disadvantage of this is obvious. We have to have some extra space on the target where we can store the bundle. And the artifacts can, in a modern system, become quite huge. And so the approach is that we implement streaming or downloading in RAUK itself. And if RAUK is able to do this and directly download it to the target device that we update, then no intermediate storage would be required. So let's have a look how this is realized in RAUK. So first of all, what we do in RAUK is that we spawn or fork an unprivileged helper process, because RAUK runs as root as it has to update the system, and you really don't want to use a root service to download data from the internet. So it spawns an unprivileged helper, and this helper acts as a translation. It plays a block device on one side and talks to the update server via HTTPS range requests on the other side. And HTTP range requests should be supported by all common web service. Also, LightTTP supports this, and it's also supported by many content delivery networks. And if we combine this now with what we've seen with the access to a Verity bundle, then we have fully authenticated random access to the remote bundle. And yeah, we can randomly access, so no intermediate storage is required. So the next need when we are able to download things is normally that we want to save download bandwidth, because bandwidth is limited, expensive, or something. And the normal approach for this is to do conventional data updates. It means you have two versions of your image on your host system, calculate a delta, and then you perform the update with this delta image on the target. So if you have the exact version that you have to calculate the delta for on your target, this works very well. You can go here from version 2 to the target to version 3. But if you now have a system that is on a different version, yeah, this fails because the patch simply doesn't apply. So it's an optimal diff. It allows very small updates. But yeah, you require to have access to the different image versions on the host, and you only can update step by step, so from version 1 to version 2 to version 3. So in Rauk, we've chosen a different approach, or a more generic approach for optimizing download. This is called adaptive updates. The concept behind this is that the bundle or the manifest itself provides a number of optimization options. So with each option, there's normally an additional data connected that is stored in the device for optimizing the download. But since we are able to stream the bundle, we don't have to download these additional data that is stored in the manifest. And then it's a responsibility of the Rauk service on the target to see, okay, which of these capabilities do I support and which can I use and which is the best one. And there's always the fallback to use a full bundle download. So you're always able to download the image you want to install. One method, adaptive method, generic one, is the hash index. The idea behind this is that you split your image into several chunks and hash each chunk and generate a hash list from this. And for installation, you just basically do the same on the target. You take your target device, block device, for example, you hash it with the same algorithm, create the same hash index. And then for the optimization, yeah, you just download, first of all, the hash index that is stored in the bundle. And then you compare it line by line with the hashes that you've calculated on the target. And then you can download, or just need to download, the hashes that differ between what's on your target and what's in the bundle. And this works both for the intended target version, but also if you come from a fully different image, then you just have to download a bit more, because the diff or the hashes that differ are a bit more. For block devices, this is already implemented in the current Rauk version, and there are also plans to support this for file-based updates using rsync and offline generated checksum files. The next topic is bundle encryption. So the motivation is, I think, quite clear. You will have some sensitive data in your bundle, and you want to protect it. Because you have it on an unsafe cloud storage or an unsafe communication channel. So in Rauk, we have implemented this in a two-stage approach. So the first one is a symmetric encryption of only the payload. It's this part. This is what normally already the build server does. And this does not yet require access to the key material. And the second part is the individual encryption. Then you can take the symmetrically encrypted image and encrypted per recipient. You can just take one key and encrypt it for all your devices by using a shared key, or if you really want to do security, then you can also use per device or per recipient keys and encrypt the bundle for many individual recipients, many thousands. So this, again, uses a device mapper, a different device mapper. Now we use dmcrypt. It's also quite simple. For the generation of the dmcrypt image, or the image we use for dmcrypt, we just split up the original image into equal-sized chunks, generate random symmetric key, and encrypt each block individual. And the dmcrypt device mapper then just provides a transparent description of the images. So if we access a chunk there, then dmcrypt just decrypts the this chunk we just selected with the key, with the symmetric key, which is the same used for encrypting. And if we combine this now in the bundle, so we have here the image encrypted and combined it with dmVerity, then we have a blockwise authenticated decryption. And since we have random access through the device mapper and the Verity format, we also have the possibility to stream an encrypted update. So I'm short on time. A few notes about app updates. So far in Rauk, we assumed, OK, the application is normally the application. So we assumed a bit a monolithic system, where the application is the one thing that the device should do. And so we said, OK, the application is normally either part of the root file system, or you can have it in a separate slot. But it actually, anyway, linked against the libraries that are contained in the root file system. So it's fine to install it always together with the updated root file system. The reality showed it's a bit different, and there are more and more demands of having the capability of doing container updates, doing App Store-like updates, and where you also have one vendor which provides a base system, which is rarely updated, and other vendors provide the applications, which are much more frequently updated, and additional data should be added there. And up to now, we had no solution for this in Rauk and said, OK, then use Rauk for the base system and use another updater or update approach for this application or file updates. What we are working on, and this is in a quite premature state, actually, is Rauk artifact updates. The basic concept behind this is that you have a slot for artifacts, and inside the slot, we don't do image-based updates, but we do directory or file-based updates. And then we provide the same as we do for image-based updates. We ensure that the update is atomically, and we also support both the case where we don't have any dependency of the app of the container to the base system. So this is what you basically see here. But we also support the use case of having a dependency on the root file system, but the need to more frequently and independently from the root file system update your application. So yeah, and together with rsync checksum files, the idea is that this, again, also supports streaming and Delta-like updates. So just a very quick rush through the other features and community things. We've switched to Meson build system recently. This is already merged. It wasn't when I started the slides. So a new feature we also have is adding custom metadata in the manifest that you can then access via Rauk Info or the Deepus API for custom application. And an ongoing development is also about providing more fine-grained process, because currently we just have a slot or per slot progress, and if you have a large tar, then you wait very long until the progress gets to the next step. And a contribution that came or was started by the community is the Rauk Hawkbit updater. This is basically an interface between the Hawkbit deployment server and Rauk on the other side. It talks via ZBrush API with Raoq. And this is a good example where the community started things and they moved then to the Raoq organization and are now maintained by the Raoq community. And with the latest version of Raoq Hawkbit updater, we are also compatible with using streaming updates for Hawkbit. And shout out to Leon, who is sitting somewhere here in the room. The MetaRack community is a layer collection started by Leon, which provides some example integration of Raoq into, for example, QEMU or for Raspberry Pi. And it's a very good starting point if you want to check out how to use Raoq, how to use all the features in Raoq. And yeah, I really recommend you to use this as a starting point. And yeah. A final slide. For an open source project, it's always hard to know which are the users of your project and where it's actually used. So it's always interesting for us to know this. So one example where we came aware of that Raoq is used is a very famous one. It's the Valve Steam Deck. That uses Raoq together with the async. Another example is the Home Assistant operating system that uses Raoq for updating the base system, and the Ornaro Eclipse project. And one thing that I also find very interesting is that the infotainment or information panels on the German ICE trains have a custom distribution they call Linux for ICEs, and they also use Raoq for updating their systems. So this was very quick. Thank you for attending. I think we still have two or three
minutes. Yeah, I think we have a time for one or two questions.
Yeah.
Hi there. Thank you for that. That's absolutely intriguing, really interesting. So one of the questions was, how do I plug this into BitBake? And you've answered that. That's great. I know what to do when I get home. The other was, what's the granularity of this? I saw a sort of a 4K block size in there somewhere. In terms of your hashes and then downloading blocks through the streaming process, is that 4K increments? How does that change? And what's the overhead in verifying those hashes as you download? What's the impact on performance? And have you looked at any figures for that?
Getting quite loud. So the question was if the 4K is fine-grained enough for normal downloads. So it's currently fixed, but it could also be changed if that's not sufficient. But in the current approach, the 4K is a fixed size there.
Okay, so it's getting late, so unfortunately we don't have time for any more questions, but don't hesitate to ask them in Matrix chat or try to catch our speaker
in
the corridor.
I'll be in front of the room. You can ask questions and we can discuss there.
Thank you for a great talk.
Thank you very much.